From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. While President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry are praising the climate deal reached in Paris this weekend and approved by delegates from nearly 200 countries, congressional Republicans are pledging to fight it. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the president is making promises we can't keep. Secretary Kerry told ABC's This Week he understands concerns, but he says this deal's a good one.
I understand the criticisms of the agreement, because it doesn't have a mandatory scheme and it doesn't have a compliance enforcement mechanism. That's true. But we have 186 countries for the first time in history all submitting independent plans that they have laid down, which are real, for reducing emissions.
Now, the wording of the agreement is expected to keep the White House from having to submit it to the Senate for approval. But McConnell says if the GOP wins the White House next year, that agreement could be reversed. Texas Senator and GOP presidential hopeful Ted Cruz is directly challenging Donald Trump's dominance in the Republican primary race. NPR's Arnie Seipel reports the two candidates are clashing on the campaign trail.
Cruz and Trump have shied away from criticizing each other thus far, but their relationship is showing signs of strain as Cruz is gaining support. At a closed-door fundraiser last week, Cruz questioned whether Trump would be a serious commander-in-chief. At an event in South Carolina this weekend, Trump used Cruz's Cuban ancestry to question his support among evangelical Christians.
I do like Ted Cruz, but not a lot of evangelicals come out of Cuba.
A survey conducted earlier this year showed that 5% of Cuba's residents are evangelical. New polls in the presidential race show Cruz challenging Trump's lead nationally and leading him in Iowa, where Cruz has strong evangelical support. Arnie Seipel, NPR News, Washington.
The State Department is warning U.S. citizens not to travel to Burundi and is advising U.S. citizens already there to leave as soon as possible as Burundi reels from 2 days of violence that killed nearly 90 people. NPR's Gregory Warner reports it's the deadliest weekend since the country's political crisis began in April.
No opposition group has claimed responsibility for Friday's unsuccessful armed assault on 3 Burundian military bases. The government calls their attackers Sindumuja. It's a word taken from the slogans of students protesting the decision of the president to seize a third term in office. In the local language, it means, I am not a slave. The government, though, has equated peaceful dissent with armed opposition. Government officials employ the same language used to incite violence during the 1994 genocide in neighboring Rwanda. In the hours after Friday's attack, Burundian police went door to door in opposition neighborhoods, dragging people out and shooting them, some with their hands still tied behind their backs. Gregory Warner, NPR News, Nairobi.
And the crisis is pitting the government against its own citizens. This is NPR News from Washington. The FBI's search of a lake near where a husband and wife team opened fire in San Bernardino, California, killing 14 people, has ended. Divers were looking for a computer hard drive or anything related to the attacks, but FBI officials aren't specifying exactly what divers pulled from the water. That small lake is in a park a few miles from the site of the attack. Regardless of the adoption of a global climate change agreement, global warming is expected to force the 475 residents of Tangier Island in the Chesapeake Bay to leave within the next 25 years. Pamela D'Angelo reports that's the conclusion of a study published in Nature.
Hurricanes and nor'easters coupled with sea level rise are eroding the island's unprotected shores at alarming rates. The report, partly funded by the Army Corps of Engineers, confirms what islanders have been saying for decades, that without more breakwaters, the island will drown. Tangier Mayor James Uker Eskridge showed members of the Corps the benefits of their last project.
This jetty here, this has been a lifesaver. I mean, we were losing 25 to 30 feet a year. And that was completed in 89, and since then we haven't lost one inch.
Without federal aid, islanders who rely on fishing and tourism can't afford the multi-million dollar breakwaters. For NPR News, I'm Pamela D'Angelo in Virginia.
At the weekend box office, The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2 took the top spot for the fourth week in a row, bringing in an estimated $11.3 million. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.
From the latest newscast to the newest podcast, NPR One handpicks local, national, and international stories based on what you like. Download the NPR One app, a new way to experience public radio.